the rest of the story. The little boy was all alone. In the mountains at dusk, thousands of feet up, and except for the massive presence of nature in repose, he was utterly alone. Beyond the precipice he approached yawned a seemingly bottomless cavern, a deep, dark valley whose very stillness drew the boy nearer as though siphoning him into its void. The day grew dim, shadows sprawled over the rocks in ghostly shapes, the abyss continued to beckon. The closer the boy came, the more irresistible its call. He stood at the edge now, he's peering over into the emptiness, and then like a bolt of lightning coming from somewhere inside him, the terror struck. And then the awful, uncontrollable dizziness, until suddenly the boy felt himself groping over the brink and plunging into a screaming eternity. And then all at once, he's screaming aloud. And then little Charlie woke up. It had all been a dream. One of the relentlessly recurring nightmares that propelled the child bolt upright in bed every night, trembling, crying out in the blackness, bathed in cold sweat. You see, little Charlie was fearful of a great many things. He was fearful of school bullies who chased and threatened. He was fearful of lonely places beyond the sight of home. He was fearful of the dark of night in which his mind conjured all manner of nemeses. And yet of all of the things that frightened little Charlie, the thing he feared most was heights, high places, and thus those incessant nightmares. A multitude of variations on the same dreadful theme. Sometimes it was the top of a tall building where he found himself clinging for his life. Other times it was a mountain peak or a cliff or a precipice, but always it would end the same, with little Charlie falling, night after night, until the sickness and the terror began to invade the corners of his waking life as well. The boy grew into a fine young man one day, but he never outgrew that fear of high places. So realizing that his alternatives were to rule that fear or be ruled by it, he challenged himself. He made himself face his phobia so that it could never cheat him out of a worthwhile dream. Perhaps a dream like this one. A young man looking down upon a peaceful world of water from high in the sky. A calm and quiet vastness drawing him ever nearer a horizon beyond which no man had ever ventured. Thus, it is by virtue of its uniqueness a voyage into the unknown, but the young man is unafraid now. And just as the question mark behind the distant clouds reaches out to embrace him, so does he reach out to embrace it. That's right, that was another of Charlie's dreams. And yet, unlike all of the others, this dream came to life. This dream came to life. It came true in 1927 in an incredible journey which history remembers as the flight of the Spirit of St. Louis. Of course, you remember little Charlie, the little boy who was afraid of the dark, who was afraid of lonely places far from home, who was especially afraid of high places. You in history know him as Charles Lindbergh. Only now you know the rest of the story.